issue, the issue brought forward by today's gospel reading, is excluding versus including. The question which is asked in today's reading is this: are Gentiles, that is, people who are not Jewish, included in Jesus' good news or excluded from it? Is Jesus' ministry, proclaiming the coming reign of heaven on earth, the reign of God which brings hope and healing and peace, which brings justice to the poor and freedom to the oppressed, is Jesus' ministry only for his own people, the Jewish people, or is it for all nations? That's the question in this text. Of course, this seems like an odd question or even a silly question for us. I mean, here we sit, and most of us are not descended from people of Jewish heritage or faith. We are, by definition, Gentiles, and we are followers of Jesus. We live on the downstream side of the timeline in which it has already been decided clearly and decisively that Jesus' ministry, Jesus' salvation, God's love is also for Gentiles. But early on, in Jesus' own day, as we see here reflected in Matthew and in the first years of the church, this was an important question. Who does God love? Who is Jesus saving? Who is included? Who is excluded? Now, before we go further, let me be clear. Today's scripture passage in Matthew has caused all kinds of debates. Because the way Matthew tells the story, it's not clear if Jesus himself has figured out yet whether his message is for those outside of his own people. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says twice, including in today's lesson, very directly, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And let me tell you, much ink has been spilled over this. Did Jesus not yet know that he was sent to all people? Did Jesus at some point change his mind? Did this Canaanite woman change his mind? Or rather, was Jesus just testing the Canaanite woman? And, by the way, what's the deal with that? Matthew tells us Jesus met a Canaanite woman, but there were no such people in Jesus' day called Canaanites. The Canaanites were the people in the Old Testament who lived in the land centuries earlier, who had been displaced and assimilated by the Israelites and their neighbors. The fact that Matthew calls her a Canaanite is an anachronism. But back to the issue of Jesus saying he was sent only to the Jews. One answer that many scholars give, they try to explain it away by appealing to Paul, who in his letter to the Romans said, "Jesus came to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles." Therefore, they explain in this passage in Matthew, Jesus is not confused, Jesus didn't change his mind. He simply means it's not fair to give the children's bread to the dogs yet. Which brings us to the other controversy that this text creates. Did Jesus really just call that woman a dog? Many people have worried a lot about that. Many questions like, was Jesus having a bad day? Or again, was he just testing her? But even if he was testing her, isn't calling her a dog in the test still kind of mean? So you see, this text creates lots of questions. There have been lots of debates about how to make sense of it all to understand it. And all of that is very important, especially if you're writing a paper for a seminary professor, or if you're trying to get a book published. It's all very important to think through if you are wrestling with these weighty issues. What does this passage tell us about who Jesus is? Can he be God and still be confused or even wrong? Or maybe what do we really actually know about what Jesus really said when all the accounts were written down decades later? Or given what we know about the nature of communication, can we actually know what was in Matthew's head when he put the words down, much less Jesus' head? For wrestling with these complicated questions and more like them, trying to think through all the issues and questions that I've pointed to that this text raises, for all of that, it's very important. But for today, I'm going to say all those questions that leap out of this story, let's just push all that aside. For this sermon, let's just take a step back. I want to go back to where I started. This text is about inclusion and exclusion. Who is in and who is out of Jesus' ministry, of Jesus' salvation, of God's love. And I want to say that despite all the complications that come out of this passage at its heart, Matthew is trying to tell us that Jesus was finally about bringing God's love, God's grace, God's reign, heaven on earth to all people. Whether he knew it from day one or changed his mind when pushed by a mysterious foreign woman is not important. By the end of the story, it is clear in Matthew, as in all the Gospels, that Jesus is proclaiming healing and wholeness and love to people of all nations. And the point of the gospel, the point of this passage, is that despite what some of the people around Jesus thought, despite what some of his contemporaries taught, the Messiah of God, the Christ of God, the one anointed by God, chosen and sent as God's representative, the Christ, whom we know as Jesus, did not come only for the people God chose and called first, the descendants of Sarah and Abraham, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob, also called Israel, and his wives Leah and Rachel and Bilhah and Zilpah, who had 12 sons that became the 12 tribes. The Christ did not only come for the descendants of God's first people, Jesus also came for all nations, for the world, for all children of God, for humanity. This is a story which tells us God does not exclude, God includes. This is emphasized, in fact, by the adjoining story. If you were to look at Matthew, you would see between last week's gospel reading and this week's, we skipped a long passage telling about how some Pharisees confronted Jesus about not making his disciples follow all the ritual laws that they themselves enforced as the religious authorities. The Pharisees believed that people were not acceptable to God unless they followed the ritual laws that God would exclude those who didn't follow the law. So the two stories stand in opposition. The story we skip says the Pharisees confronted Jesus for not teaching properly in their opinion about God's exclusion. But Jesus tells his disciples, no, the Pharisees are wrong. Ignore them. God does not exclude for not following human rituals. Do you see how that story fits with this one? In the first, the religious teachers who ought to know the truth about God teach incorrectly that God excludes based on human criteria of goodness. And in the second story, today's an excluded woman who, according to the authorities, ought to know nothing, speaks the truth. She has a keen insight into the ways of God. And she, in fact, in the story, corrects Jesus himself with the truth. God does not exclude based on human criteria for division. This is the good news. God is a God of inclusion. Deep in our hearts, we know this is true. We know this because we each know deep down that if God's a God of exclusion, then I would be in trouble. We know this because story after story in the Bible teaches it from beginning to end. We know this because the church, led by the Spirit of Christ for more than 2,000 years, has again and again, over and over, despite the circling of the wagons that we see going on around us today over certain issues, the church, led by the Spirit of Christ, living out the gospel, continually has moved toward deeper and broader inclusion. Indeed, we know this, that God is a God of inclusion as the people of St. John's. Else, why would we have enthusiastically affirmed one of our core values as all are welcomed and valued, no exceptions? Today's text, friends, is good news. Good news that continues to ring through the church, through the faith, through the disciples, through us. Time and again, those on the margins, not at the center of God's gathered people, have spoken to the church, echoing the voice of this Canaanite woman, but aren't the crumbs of God's grace for me too? Isn't God's healing and wholeness for me also? Didn't God come to save me? And time and again, the church, led by Christ, has answered, yes, thanks be to God. May we all continually be filled with God's love for us, for our neighbor, for all people, for our enemy. May we all continually be filled with God's love. May we all be transformed by God's love. May we all live God's love through serving others. Amen.